I'm Hillary McClure, Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing provider that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. Roger, welcome back. Happy to have you back on Cyber Grimes, named for you, of course, but always lovely to have you as a guest.
Always glad to be here.
So, Roger, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a favorite topic of yours is quantum computing. So I'm hoping that this story should be a good one to kick off this week's episode. I saw in Ars Technica that Psyche, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, a post-quantum encryption contender, was taken out by a single core PC in 1 hour. So tell us everything, you know, what the hopes were for Psyche, how it was taken down, and where this leaves us with post-quantum encryption.
Yeah, this is a huge development. So Psyche, S-I-K-E, was a really promising post-quantum, quantum-resistant cryptography standard that used curves. And there's other encryption, conventional encryption called elliptic curve cryptography, ECC, that also used curves, but this used different types of curves. And it was an interesting attack. But overall, so as everybody probably knows that listens to me, that we're in the process of getting sufficiently capable quantum computers that will be able to break much of today's traditional asymmetric encryption, RSA, Diffie-Hellman, elliptic curve cryptography. And so we're having to move to these post-quantum, which means quantum resistant cryptography standards. And NIST, a couple of years ago, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, started a post-quantum cryptography contest, and they went through several rounds. And in the first round, they asked people to submit these new standards that would be made into the new United States standard, which many times becomes global standards. And they had like 82 people, teams, submit PQ, post-quantum cryptography standards. And right away, those got, you know, a lot of them were compromised right away. Some of them were folded into others, and it ended up with, I don't know, it was, you know, 20 or 30. So out of the 82, only like, a couple of dozen got to round two. And then in round three, which recently got announced, it was kind of, they finally just announced a month or so ago, here are three or four cryptographic standards you can now start deploying, which is great. But the NIST said three of the four standards that we've chosen rely upon a particular type of standard, a particular type of cryptography. And we're worried that if someone figures out how to attack this class of ciphers, three of the four standards will fall. And the fourth standard that was released, called Classic McLeese, is really an old standard. It was like invented in 1975 or 1976. It works and it's very protective, but it has huge million bit key sizes. It's a very unwieldy post-quantum cipher, but it works. But the other three are more efficient and they're newer. But again, they all three rely upon this particular type of cryptography that if somebody learns how to attack successfully, can take out all three ciphers at the same time that now picked out as a standard. So NIST released a fourth round and said, hey, let's go with this, go with four rounds, and we're going to release some new candidates in that fourth round for additional consideration. And they use different types of cryptography. And one of them was Psyche. And Psyche is the one that got broke. And what's amazing is Psyche has been out for quite a long time. It hasn't been out as long as some of the other standards, but it actually had a lot of promise. It had really small key sizes, was really quick and efficient. I personally, and I think many others, were hoping that it would stand because it just had this, I call it, you know, isogeny curves. And it would have allowed everybody to use these fast, small key sizes to fight quantum. It was kind of like, we had yet another cipher broken in the 11th hour, right before it's going to be released. And not only did it broken at the last minute in round four, it was broken in an hour on a conventional computer. This is shocking. And the inventor of it, Psyche, said it was a unknown type of attack. And essentially, and it's really kind of complicated, but so let's say Psyche uses curves, different types of mathematical formulas that make these curves. And they said the attack was unique in that it used another type of curve, but that curve, the type of curve that the attack used and the type of curve that Psyche used, had this unknown relationship. Turned out that this second type of curve had this previously unknown relationship with the type of curve that Psyche used for its protection, but that allowed it ultimately broken in an hour on a laptop. And that was just, you know, takes your breath away. And all I can say is that within the next year or two, everybody's going to be doing a long post-quantum migration project and going to the NIST ciphers or whatever your country chooses. And this, again, added another bit of, okay, we're all getting ready to move to the new NIST standards. And let me say the four NIST standards that have been released in round three have not been broken, but it undermines the confidence that the contest worked. And I say that, you know, the contest is still working, but it does each little time you break, someone breaks a cipher at, you know, in the last hour and does this one so utterly, like it's really the worst case scenario. This protective standard we were all getting ready to possibly go to got broken to in an hour. That's like easier than traditional cryptography by orders of magnitude to break. And so it undermines the confidence in the whole NIST contest process. I would still say you should have confidence in it. Eventually, every cryptography standard eventually gets taken out, but hopefully it's decades and not, you know, towards the beginning of its release in an hour.
Just reading it, you know, it's above me, but it was wild to think that it could be taken down in 1 hour and like a laptop, like you said, just a regular single core PC. So you mentioned how everyone is going to have to engage in some kind of post-quantum migration. And so in sticking with the theme of quantum computing for this week, there are two senators, one Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire and Rob Portman of Ohio. They've introduced a bipartisan bill to improve our defenses against quantum computing data breaches. I actually reached out to Maggie Hassan's team because I'm now in New Hampshire and I wanted to get her on the show, but I guess she's too busy for me right now. Maggie, you should come on the show. You should tell us about this bill. Maybe I'll reach out to Rob Portman's team. Helping to improve our defenses against quantum computing data breaches. We're seeing, you know, there is sort of perhaps that loss of confidence like you were just saying. So I guess, can you tell us more about this bill and what it means should it go through?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a great thing. So we all know, again, that sufficiently capable quantum computers either have been built, there's a small chance they've actually already been built and we just don't know about it, or soon within the next 10 years and probably a lot shorter than that, probably just years. Will be built and break traditional encryption. So the bill, bless them for doing it, says, hey, businesses, wake up and McFly, you know, Back to the Future, you know, wake up and start preparing yourself. Because let me say, this is a huge kind of Y2K-like problem that almost no business is even aware of, much less actually budgeting for. That every company in the world is going to be doing a multi-year, super expensive post-quantum encryption migration that will impact us all of us, our kids, you know, every device we have, and almost nobody's doing anything about it. So it was nice to have them saying, hey, you know, do something about it. And I would say that every country, if you haven't already gotten a law that says that, you should have your legislators create a law and pass it that says companies start preparing, start doing something, because most companies aren't doing anything. And it's going to be the biggest part of it is just trying to analyze and identify what ciphers currently protect your data that you need protected for a long time. Like, you know, what's protecting it? RSA, Diffie-Hellman, ECC, what are the key sizes? What would the current hardware and software allow you to increase it to? Do you have what's called crypto agility, which is the ability to upgrade the ciphers? That's really important, especially with the Psyche. You know, the recent Psyche compromise kind of runs home this idea of crypto agility, where whatever cipher you're using to protect your data and hardware and software and stuff, you need to make sure that it's the software and the hardware is crypto agile, which means you can replace the encryption without it being this massive upgrade thing. You know, like in Windows today, a lot of the cryptography, not all of it, but a lot of it literally is as easy as a software update to replace. It's crypto agile, but a lot of stuff isn't. The encryption is hard coded, and the devices, the encryption is hard coded, and the firmware, it's hard coded. And so to get increased, to get better post-quantum, quantum resistant ciphers installed is going to be a nightmare or require replacement. But you need, everybody needs to make their vendors crypto agile. Your software, your custom software and stuff needs to be crypto agile. Everything you buy from any vendor, you should be telling them, hey, is this crypto agile? And if they don't know what you're talking about, you educate them. because every single thing you buy that's not crypto agile is going to be more of a nightmare to upgrade to having those post-quantum ciphers. And again, as Psyche recently proved, you could potentially implement a cipher that has to suddenly be replaced because it's found out it can be cracked in an hour on a single laptop. Well, you need to make sure your software, your hardware, your firmware will allow that compromised cipher to be replaced with the new protection standard without requiring absolute utter chaos and or replacement to fix. So if you don't know the term crypto agile, you should know it, learn it, use it, implement it, require it.
Well said as always, Roger. And I know that we've covered this topic many times before, but in case anybody missed it, you heard it here again. So really start planning that, because like you've said in the past, people are going to wait too long until it's too late, and then they're going to be in a whole new world of a mess.
So if you don't know about the post-quantum cryptography project that your company is going to be doing, start researching. And if you want to, a good place to start would be me on LinkedIn. I write about it a whole lot. Go to Roger Grimes on LinkedIn, search for quantum, and you'll see tons of articles about this. I've been writing about this for years now.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure. And I'm looking forward to next week.
Yes, me too.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
I'm Hillary McClure, Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing provider that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering.